Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
Always a pleasure to be with you here on Home and Family Finance here on the Radio America Network. I am your host, Paul Barry, in my eighth year. I hope you've been with me that long and listen to the program that gives answers to the questions that have an impact on your home, your family, your finances, and your future. It's very simply the program that you want to be listening to because you don't have to ask the tough questions. You just have to listen and we'll answer them for you. And if we don't answer the question that you want, just give us, send us a note over here to hffradio.com and I'll be more than happy to consider whatever topics you think we should be talking about when it comes to your family, your home, your finances. Your finances, that's what drives us completely. We are financial literacy is the most important part of all that we talk about. We need to know more about handling our business, and we need to teach more. And unfortunately, we don't. We graduate kids out of high school even today who can't balance their checkbooks. We're doing everything we can about it by bringing great folks to you, like, for instance, Linda Dennis, who will be my first guest today. And she'll be talking to you about a number of different topics. She is a whirling dervish. She is somebody doing a thousand different things. And when you hear about some of them, I think you'll be interested and you may want to grab hold and say, okay, how can I be helpful? And then we're going to follow that up with another topic that is very – what does your credit score have to do with your love interest? Well, believe me, it's directly relatable. Love and credit scores. They go together like a horse and carriage and all that other kind of stuff. Anyway, my first guest, Linda Dennis, program manager, a Build Resilience Through Creative Expression. Now, if you go to her site or you get some information from her, you will see this. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing's going to get better. It's not. Now, that's from Dr. Seuss. Don't you love somebody that has that as a part of their opening, a part of their introduction to them? Linda Dennis, I fell in love with you the moment I read that. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing great. That says a whole lot, doesn't it?
It does.
We all can do our part. We all have things to do. We all can get busy. Unfortunately, most of us either are not doing everything we can do or we wait until somebody asks, and that's not always the case. I was intrigued by a number of things that you're involved with, including the Medal of Honor Bold Essay Challenge. First of all, just give us a background of what this is all about, and then we'll go from there. Go ahead.
Well, let's start out first with the Medal of Honor Bowl. It's held annually in Charleston, South Carolina, and it brings together the top college football players and coaches for this game. And while honoring the Medal of Honor recipient, the events include everything from a hero's luncheon. We just held a golf classic, and we have a gala. And the profits go to support the Medal of Honor Foundation and the museum they're trying to build here by Patriots Point, which is quite worthy of this entire Medal of Honor Society, what they've given to our country through many, many, many years. The essay challenge came about, and this is a little funny thing to share. Last year, thanks to Andy Solomon, who is their PR director at the Medal of Honor Bowl, He invited me to attend the game. And so camera gear, I head to the game. But I didn't have time enough to get team backpackers involved because we run a scholastic journalism program here in Charleston, South Carolina, where we teach kids how to write and take pictures and tell stories. So I headed off to the game and took hundreds of photographs and got to talk and to some of the folks in the stands and watch from the press box. And what I was moved by was on the field, there were 15 Medal of Honor recipients. Of course, the Atlanta Falcon cheerleaders were there. We had a team fest before, and it was all very festive. But I was very disappointed that my kids, my team backpackers, didn't have the opportunity to meet and interview any one of these 15 recipients.
Wow.
In the past now, my backpack journalists, who are military kids, actually got to meet Leroy Petrie, who's a pretty awesome guy. He was a ranger who who was awarded the Medal of Honor. And they came away from that meeting with their lives changed. And I had visually watched as these two young women said to me later, you know, we just met a real hero.
Yeah.
Well, one thing led to the other, and I spoke to their PR people first, and they said, you know, what are you suggesting? I said, well, we need to engage youth on a national basis to research what the Medal of Honor is really all about, mm-hmm. and who these recipients are, who they've been, alive or passed away, and let's write about them. Let's research them. Let's take a look at what they did for our country.
Because, absolutely.
You know, while a lot of people say, oh, that's an old cliche, Linda, freedom and free. Hey, wait a minute, guys. Just watch the news 5 minutes a week, and you're going to see something that tells us we're the best place in the world to live.
Absolutely without question. And let me just, so that our audience understands, when is the Medal of Honor Bowl essay challenge? When is this going on? And is it something that people can attend?
Well, the essay challenge is online. You go to the medalofhonorbowl.com, and there's a link there that says essay challenge. All the rules are posted. The deadlines are posted. The challenge itself challenges classrooms, families, youth to research, to pick a Medal of Honor recipient,
right,
and research
That's
them.
That's a wonderful idea. You know, I had the pleasure every year of doing the honors program here, Linda, and we have anywhere from 3 to 5 Medal of Honor winners on hand. And they are inspirational. They are inspiring. They are important in our lives to recognize that these are men and women who had no idea that one day they would be held up to receive the highest military honor we have. My guest is as you can hear, is Linda Dennis, who is program manager of Building Resistance Through Creative Expression. When we come back, we'll talk to more. But she keeps talking about these backpack journalists, and she says they're somehow related to the military. I think you want to know what that relationship is, and no one knows it any better than Linda. We'll be right back. This is Home and Family Finance.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest, Linda Dennis, who's program manager, Build Resilience Through Creative Expression. We're talking about a wonderful Medal of Honor Bowl essay challenge, which began September 1st, and our submissions have to be received by January 30th, 2016. And one of the programs or one of the portions of this is Backpack Journalist in School program. What is that? Explain what Backpack Journalist is.
Well, we basically teach scholastic journalism, which is writing, photography, storytelling, photojournalism, and even script writing now, because we're actually doing a script, taking all the video essay challenges that come in and doing a documentary for the GI Film Festival in May.
Mm-hmm.
We work heavily in the schools here. We do an after-school program, but we also serve and have served and love serving military kids. We started out working with military kids in Crystal City, Virginia, 6 years ago with the Army Reserve. They have touched our lives. We have built a backpack journalist intern program. We have used military youth all across America who have worked with us, gone to youth symposiums with us. And it's all about writing and learning how to express yourself.
Sure,
and we
sure.
love to say finding your voice.
No.
A lot of kids don't like to write, but once they go through our symposium and the way we teach writing,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden it's like, man, I know how to write. I can communicate now.
Linda, it's such a wonderful way of expression because it's, you know, if you can write or even start to doing it, it's a freedom. It releases so much in a person if you learn how to write and feel comfortable in doing so, isn't it?
Right, and that's what happens. We do a pre and post anytime we do a symposium, and when the kids come in, it's almost arms folded. Their whole body language is different than when they leave. I will say that we do sometimes book publishing with what the kids write. We do DVDs. We do all kind of cool things with what they do.
Yeah. Who is the
here
we?
Here in Charleston, we do that also.
Who are the, you say we, explain who we are? Who does we represent when you say we do this? Okay.
Glad to. I am the program manager, and I work with here locally. I have a short team of people, college students, adjunct teachers that help some in the afternoon because we do after-school programs. On a national basis, we have adjunct professors. We have retired teachers. We have teachers in schools that join us as we travel to locations to do youth symposiums. We have some coming up in 2016. In the past, we have interviewed the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Gordon Dempsey, when he was in place, Leroy Petrie. We have traveled to a change of command ceremonies. We've served the Pentagon courtyard a couple times. So when I say we, they are our teachers who have other jobs in the daytime and often join us on the weekend.
And it's wonderful that they do. And this is this limited to military children or no? Just what are the parameters here?
Well, we have two programs. We have one that serves military kids where we travel out. Then we have an at-risk afternoon program that we have pilot tested here in the Charleston County School District that has done exceptionally well. We now have a group of team backpackers, and these are kids who live in neighborhoods around Charleston, the downtown area particularly. Mm-hmm. And they have lived with us now for almost a year and a half, going on 2 years. They write, they report, they take photos. They have interviewed the mayoral candidates. They have traveled to the Citadel recently where we covered the leadership day for the Citadel. And as a result of that, they're doing their first book for a New York publisher. They're going to be contributing an article on what leadership means, what a hero is. And these are six fifth graders from a school here in Charleston.
Now, the Medal of Honor Bowl is held there in Charleston, bringing in better college football players and coaches for the game. So is that a game that the public can attend, or is that happening again this year?
No, absolutely. The date has been moved to 2016 because they're working with NCAA on some issues to bring other players here. It will be held here in Charleston. It's wide open to the public.
Great.
We hope the public will come. We ourselves, from the Essay Challenge perspective, we are working towards a year's celebration of heroes. Mm-hmm. So once we get the essays in at the end of January, we start building a book on our hero concept, and then we'll start building this documentary.
And you should know, folks, profit goes to support the Medal of Honor Foundation and Museum. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple other programs that Linda is involved in. Don't you just love her? Aren't you glad she's doing what she's doing? Because you're not doing what you should or could be doing. Okay, maybe some of you. We'll be right back with more. Listening to Home and Family Finance on Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Home and Family Finance is brought to you by the Defense Credit Union Council, the DCUC, and by CUNA, and we thank them for their continued support of the program dedicated to making all of us financially fit. The Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves, set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. Go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And of course, you don't have to be in the military to save. All of us should be saving something. But it's interesting, isn't it, that this is one of the programs that the DCUC, our major sponsor, when I'm talking about the backpack and the Medal of Honor Bowl, and a lot of other things that Linda Dennis, who is program manager for the program, building resilience through creative expression. You said something about the Citadel. You said something. I know we're talking about the backpack. I know we're talking about the bowl. All of these things are related because they all support the efforts of young people, military primarily. Is that true?
That's true. And we have a mix now of military youth in our program, as well as local Charleston area youth. We have youth from other communities calling us now. We hope that when you look at the essay challenge details on the MedalofHonorBowl.com website, that you independently or your family or your school class will call us, will begin to take a look at what the Medal of Honor recipient did for our country and what it really means for our freedoms. Here in Charleston, everyone's aware of the recent Mother Emanuel AME tragedy. Our kids during the summer that we work with here, and several of military kids, we started taking photographs of the signs around Charleston because it meant so much to have our community come together and and not explode like so many other communities do. That says a lot about the city of Charleston. Charleston is a very military-friendly town. We have Patriots Point. We have organizations that support our troops. We have a strong VA presence here, and we're so glad to be here because we were welcomed in when we came home after the drawdown became. And we thank so much the Defense Credit Union for helping us fund this essay challenge. So
I think you should.
It could be offered all over the world.
What I think Artie Arteaga and others see in this program is that negative, bad things are going to happen, Linda. It happens in places all over this country, and you can either sit there and mire in it, or you can do what you guys have done. How do we make this a positive? How do we motivate based on what has happened and make it a better? And that's exactly what these programs are all about, right?
Right, and we are. And a lot of our writing assignments that we do, we take the kids out and we allow them, insist, in fact, that children that live in the at-risk areas or the military kids who have met multiple deployments in their families, we try to get them to places so they can expand their horizons and learn about the world that we live in. The writing that comes following is almost, it's kind of like the final piece of the puzzle, or the photographs that we take and the photo stories that we encourage them to write. All these participants in our program, typically their parents will come to us later and say, wow, they're talking to me now, or look at what they wrote. Show me a career that doesn't require writing. And there's no career. So we feel like that even though, you know, we're not in the learning during the day at school, or we're on the weekends during symposiums, or after school, the writing piece that we teach and the photojournalism that we teach through our efforts enhances their educational strength and abilities.
And what you're doing can be done anywhere, any place in this country.
Around the world even. You know, we do have curriculum that we have online. We have workshops. We come to you. You can come to us. The whole essay challenge of the Medal of Honor Bowl kind of prompted us to think about a year celebration of the hero for next year. With the leadership day, excuse me, at the Citadel, it was wonderful. These kids got to meet almost, there were 1,400 cadets on the field going out to all the schools, some of the schools in our area, teaching the meaning of the true meaning of a hero. And these are kids that would not even know what a hero was. So our kids were there. The backpackers were there. They were interviewing. They were tracking them on the buses.
And you know what? By the way, you're a little old name dropper, you. You dropped the name of Denzel Washington. I heard that loud and clear and read it.
When did you hear that?
Yeah, that's all right, Linda. Linda, I got to go, but thank you. Come back and see us again, would you? I promise to make space for you if you'll join me again, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, Linda Dennis, my guest. Coming up next, love and credit scores. We'll show you the link. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
Safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
What fun today, and I really appreciated Linda Dennis being with us here. She's involved with a number of different programs, and I know you want to be able to get back to her on some of those. So let me just leave you with this website, www.abackpackjournalist.com, and that's A-B-A-C-K-P-A-C-K-J-O-U-R-N-A-L-I-S-T.com. just like it sounds. www.abackpackjournalist.com. And as you heard her say, we can grow this program. We can affect a lot more kids, a lot more young people, not only military, but non-military as well. We just get busy and make a difference, in a positive difference in the lives of our children. That's all it takes. Speaking of positive differences, we all get to a point in our lives where we think we have found the one that we love the most. Enough so that we're willing to spend our life with that person. Yes. Well, the truth of the matter is, even though they say love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage, studies now suggest it's actually love and credit scores that equal a happy marriage. And no one knows that any better than my next guest, who we kind of love, too. She was with us a few months ago, and she's here to talk about this business of how tricky it is when the finances go wrong, the romances very often go badly. Jocelyn Baird is a Next Advisor writer with a love for coffee, reading, and all things personal and personal security. She covers identity theft, as you recall, last time she was on with us, credit monitoring, internet security software, small business, personal loans, payday loans, all that kind of stuff she knows about. But she also knows about the importance of the credit score and the impact it can have when you're having financial difficulties, how tough it can be, and how, in many cases, it is really the primary reason that a marriage does not work. Imagine that, dollars and cents of all things. Jocelyn, nice to have you back on the program.
Yeah, it's so great to be back.
Thank you
for having me.
Define this for us. How big of an issue is this business of credit score and romance and love and marriage and all of that?
It is actually surprisingly huge. There was actually a study. There was a 12-year or a 15-year study that was finally all the results were released recently. That basically discovered that your credit score can basically predict your chance of not only, you know, finding a committed relationship but staying in it.
Wow, wow! So if you wanted to see whether or not and this is very interesting. You've got a couple, they're married or they're getting thinking of it or whatever. But if you look at their credit scores, I guess before and after they say I do or I did, if their score's at a certain level, it's a predictor of what will happen with their romance, with their love life.
Yeah, essentially. You know, when you have a higher credit score, obviously we all know that having better credit enables you to have access to things like loans and, you know, buying cars at lower rates. And those things transfer to relationships. A couple where either both people have lower credit scores, or maybe one person has a good credit score but the other person has fairly bad credit, they're going to have a lot more stress. And financial stress, as we all know, is one of the biggest contributors to relationships arguing and falling apart.
So if you we're talking with Jocelyn Baird. Jocelyn, the point, I guess you could say of this, is that if you have a bad credit score, make sure you fall in love with somebody that also has a bad credit score. Otherwise, the relationship. I mean, really, the habits that we have can sometimes be predictors. In other words, my habit is that I save, and that I'm a good, I have a great credit score. And you don't save, and you spend, and you're a spendthrift, as opposed to a thrifty spender. We're going to have difficulties in our relationship.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, that is definitely accurate. Especially, and you know, it's not true for all people. You know, obviously people with lower credit scores have happy marriages, have always had happy marriages, but these are the types of things that you can just think about critically and consider when you're getting into a relationship with somebody and it's getting serious.
Okay, that brings up the question. Is it okay for me then, if I'm in love with somebody or think I am, or they with me, boy, girl, boy, should I say to them, what's your credit score?
I mean, I don't think that's something to bring out on the first date, definitely. But, you know, if you've gotten to the point where you're considering marriage, which, you know, is combining your assets and your finances and your life together, I think it is a good time to have a conversation. You know, do you have any debts? how is your credit? You may, maybe not specific credit score. You could even make it an activity together to get your free credit report, which everyone is entitled to once per year, and do that together and kind of contrast and compare. Because I think the last thing you want is to get married, be, you know, contractually bound to somebody, and then find out afterward, oh, they have $70,000 in credit card debt that I didn't know about.
That is not a good thing to discover. I mean, you need to know that. You need to know that before you go up and say I do, because that could be a deal killer. There's no question about it. My guest is Jocelyn Baird. She's a Next Advisor, a writer with a love, as I said, for coffee, reading, and all things personal. We're talking about love and credit scores, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk about what you see right in front of you, what you're witnessing, and maybe love is blind, but it ought not be blind to whether or not your partner is going to be a problem in terms of how you handle your finances. This is Home and Family Finance. I'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry.
My guest is Jocelyn Baird, Next Advisor writer. We're talking about a recent study that they were part of. And what it really says, folks, is that credit scores can have a major impact on your relationship with somebody that you care about, you know. And let me just suggest to you out there this, and I think Jocelyn will back it up. You're dating someone. You've been together for a while. You learn their habits. You know what they like. You know what excites them. You know what their disciplines are. Don't put a blind eye on that, especially if you're thinking about tying into each other. As Jocelyn just said, if that person has $70,000 in debt, you need to know about that. And if you know that person, Jocelyn, if you see that person likes to go out to dinner every night, could care less about spending, wants to spend all of your money, boy or girl, doesn't save anything, and you're quite the opposite, that's saying there's going to be a problem, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And it's even something to think about. Maybe you both have the same habits, especially when it comes to being, you know, very spread thrift and not saving. That's something to definitely think about if you're getting close to wanting to get married to somebody. Or even if you are already married and you're noticing, hey, my spouse and I have poor credit habits, what can we do about it? Because, you know, it can be a predictor, but it can also be used to kind of, you know, reevaluate things and go, okay, where are we? Where would we like to be?
Okay, so you're suggesting then that instead of it doesn't have to be a negative, it can end in a positive way if you're smart about how you deal with the fact that there are differences, or that you guys are heading down the same road. You're not saving, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. Is that you can make it something that you join hands in terms of saying, how can we fix this and be better people, better financially fit?
Yes, yeah, you can definitely work together. You know, I think a lot of people, especially when they get into a place where they have bad credit, think that they're going to be like that for the rest of their lives. And something we like to tell people on Next Advisor is that, you know, you won't have bad credit forever if you take charge and work to improve it.
Okay, but here's a question. Okay. You're in a relationship, either his mom or her mom, his dad, her dad, they see the problem, or at least they say they know the habits of their kids. They see that these two people are different, and yet they're madly in love with each other, and yet they are so different in terms of how they handle their finances. Should the parent or grandparents or great best friend, doesn't have to be parents, should someone say something to one or the other or both, or is this something that just ain't none of your business?
I mean, I think it, depending on the relationship with, you know, you have, like, some parents are close enough to be able to pull their child aside and say, hey, you know, this is something that, you know, we've always talked about, or maybe that we should have talked about, and I want you to know before you get into something deep. But I think when it comes to relationships, people are still mostly ruled by their emotions and how they feel. So I can't imagine most, you know, young people especially listening to something like that and letting it deter them from getting married to someone that they're madly in love with.
Would you? Would you, if you saw your best friend was what you thought was in potentially dangerous territory because the guy she was dating was a spendthrift and cared nothing about saving and spent like crazy, would you say something to your girlfriend?
I probably would. I tend to talk about finance and other topics. Yeah. I feel like I'm maybe unusual in that since I write about it a lot. But I think I might, but I would kind of go into it with the idea of maybe I can make them aware of bad habits that they might not have been aware of, and they have to make their own decisions from there.
Well, it could cost your friendship, but you recognize that. Is it worth it?
It absolutely could. And it might not be worth it. You know, people have to make their own mistakes, and if it's not your money, then... You know, you kind of have to let them.
Yeah. It's a tough place to be because you say, okay, well, you know, I really do enjoy her. I love her. She's my best girlfriend, or I really care about him. And I'd rather just let them get head into trouble that I see without saying anything rather than lose the friendship. Is that being selfish?
I think it is. I think it's being selfish, but I think it's also being realistic because people are tough to change, and they're tough to convince of things that they might not see or agree with. And you know, that's kind of what it comes back to with this study, is that people kind of tend to do what they want to do. They looked at 12 million people in the U.S. for 15 years and compared their relationships, and they found that, you know, if you have a wide credit score gap, you're probably not going to last in a relationship. And I think it's interesting that, you know, they were able to find that out because so many people end up getting married anyway, despite their differences.
Yeah. But that's just a shocking thing, is that, you know, I've got a 500 and you've got an 800 or whatever you have in a score. There's a big difference. And that difference pretty much is a predictor that sooner or later we're going to have troubles and we may not stay together. That's a heck of a statement, don't you think?
It absolutely is. And I think, you know, them finally releasing this information, maybe people will start to actually think about things like that before they dive in.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm not sure that you know, we very often, folks, and of course I've been there too, so this is not a preach. This is just an experience, is that you care about somebody, and you know what you fail to do, Jocelyn? You fail to see the holes. You don't see the uglies. You only see the good. You only want to see the good. You know, you don't want to, you know, everything is wonderful. Everything is perfect. And very often everything is not perfect. And if you back into a relationship that way, this study kind of proves that if sooner or later the holes and the dips and the problems in the relationship are going to win out.
Mm-hmm. It'll catch up with you.
Well, you know, I guess the real issue then becomes is the fix. You know, if there is a problem and you're listening, or you know that there's a problem and you're hearing this and you're saying, you know, there's a problem with her and I don't, or there's a problem with him, either way. What do you do? Do you go to that person? Do you say something to them?
Yeah. It's a matter of, you know, if you know, or, you know, if it's your own relationship, you know, you can, I think you have more power in your own relationship to change things, and you can kind of approach it from a, hey, let's fix this together. Let's work on this together kind of thing.
All right. When we come back, let's talk about fixing your credit scores and what you can do in it. And do you even know your credit score? Or do you know how to find out? We'll have that answer. Yes. From Jocelyn Baird. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Baird. Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Baird. I'm so pleased to have you with us here as we explore the truth of the matter when it comes to your credit score and your relationship. If you have fallen in love with somebody who is diametrically opposed to the things that you believe when it comes to finances, you're going to have some trouble. That's what this recent study shows, and that's what my guest is talking about here today as we share the results of that survey with Jocelyn Baird, who is with the Next Advisor. She's one of the editors and one of the writers. And we're talking about this survey because, folks, it really shows that the difference in credit scores can really be the indicator that things are not going to work out in your relationship. So, you know, if you know there's a difference, then you got to fix that. One of the first things you need to know, I think, Jocelyn, is what your credit score is. And I'm amazed to tell you that there are a lot of folks that have no idea what their score is or even know how to find it.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know how to find it, have never looked at their credit reports. And the only way you can really know where you stand is to look at your credit report and look at it often. You know, they actually through the federal government, you can view your credit reports from all three credit bureaus once per year. The website to do that is annualcreditreport.com. And it's totally free, and it gives you copies of your credit reports. It doesn't give you free copies of your scores, but there are ways to get those. A lot of credit report monitoring services have free trials that you can sign up for, see your scores, and then cancel the free trial unless you want to keep the service. But looking at it is the first step towards knowing where do you stand. Is there information on your credit report that's wrong? Because a lot of people end up having misinformation on their reports that's dragging their score down.
But you just said something I think people need to understand. You said you can find out, you can see your credit report, but you won't see your credit score. Explain that.
Well, the reports are offered for free. You know, and the reports are where all the specific information is. The score is something that's calculated based on those credit reports, and those are usually not offered for free, but you can get them for free.
And you get them for free by doing what?
You get them for free by a lot of websites will have, you know, sign up for a free trial, see your credit scores, mm-hmm. and, you know, it'll be either a 7-day trial or 30-day trial, whatever it is. But you can sign up, see your score, see where you stand. You may find out that you like having a credit monitoring service. A lot of them don't cost more than maybe $10 a month.
Okay.
And they give you access 24/7 to your credit reports and your scores.
Okay, and so if I were to find out, if I needed to know how to do that, where do I go to find that out? Is there a website or someplace I can go to get more information in terms of kind of figuring that all out?
NextAdvisor.com has a really fabulous, we have a whole section on credit report monitoring, a lot of blogs with information on getting your scores and, you know, how to make the most out of whatever you do to look at your credit and keep an eye on it.
Okay, that's Next, NextAdvisor.com. You can go mm-hmm. there, folks, if you want to get started. And if you find this information and you now know where you are, can you do something about your score?
You can. You know, some people either have poor credit or an awful lot of people don't have any credit at all. You know, they've never had a credit card, they've never had a loan, so they haven't had a chance to build a credit score. So there are different things that you can do depending on what your situation is. If you don't have much credit, you can either look into a credit card for average or limited credit, or you can look into a secured credit card. Secured credit cards differ from regular credit cards in that they basically look and act like a real credit card, but you put a deposit down in order to open the card. You basically secure the card with your deposit. And the deposits are usually $200 or less, so it's not a whole lot.
Okay.
But it gives you a line of credit.
So you start using your credit, and that's the way building good credit. Is that that's the whole idea, I guess.
Yeah, it's a good way to do that. Paying your bills on time is also very important.
The better way. Pay your bills on time and keep a record. Jocelyn Baird, thank you so much. Come back and see me soon, would you please?
Definitely. Definitely.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Nice to have you on the program. All right, folks, don't tell me you don't know. We've just told you, and you do know. You know how to get your credit score. You know what it means. You know a lot of things today that you didn't know before this program started. That's the whole purpose of Home and Family Finance. Thank you, Al Peterson. Thank you, Tally Berry. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you come back and see us again next week. We'll be right here. Will you? Hope so.